Good morning, and we are glad to have you here for worship at Grace Church, to be inspired by our wonderful music, to receive a word from God, we believe, as well, and to praise God together. As you have an opportunity, please use the friendship pads that are in the rows, and if someone is sitting in your row, feel free to pass it along that they can do likewise. I looked at the announcements in the bulletin and realized that if somebody was new today, if you're new, welcome, would think that Grace Church does maybe three things: some mission work and worship and eat, because there are three different groups that are going out to eat in various ways. So note that, and if you would enjoy the company of others at a mealtime, please consider being part of those there on the back sheet there. And then I have the privilege of acknowledging our guest musicians today. Thank you so much for being here from the Des Moines Metro Opera. We are so fortunate to have this wonderful music in the summertime. I understand that Brian is from Columbus. Is that right?
Yes.
Yes, Brian is from Columbus, and Coco is from Japan. So they come from all over the world to Des Moines Metro Opera, and our appreciation to you for that. Would you show your appreciation with your applause once more? Thank you. And now let us center our hearts on God through this time of music.
Last month, we asked people to write down the best advice that they had ever heard. Do you remember doing that? Did many of you do that? We had the sheet, and you're asked to draw a picture of the people of God, imagine the people of God on one side, and then if you had a piece of advice that you heard that had made an impact on you, to write that down. And when we wrote it all out side by side, it really looked like a list of, like, proverbs. Now, many things we learn because we've been taught it, but many things we seem to have to learn or at least confirm the hard way. Now, the Bible tells us that Proverbs are, this is from the book of Proverbs, for learning about wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for gaining instruction in wise dealing, righteousness, and justice, and equity. So, that's what we're going to do. The rest of our summer, we're going to spend this summer with the wisdom of the people of Grace that people have brought in insights and wisdom, but also the insight and wisdom of Scripture, of course, as well. Now, here are some of the things that people wrote that we've gathered together under the category of be yourself. The first one is be yourself. Another one is, when you point a finger at someone, remember there are three fingers pointing back at you. Somebody else wrote, when my father said, he's the best that you can do, go ahead and marry him. Well, it turned out pretty well. Well, I guess we have to know what our qualities are. One person wrote, breathe. Another said, always be yourself. Always be honest. Try to be helpful. Try to live with a spirit of generosity. Another said, if you want to know what really makes you unique, then sit for one of those caricature drawings. They'll show you what's unique about you. And someone else said, count your blessings. Name them one by one. Because you have them. So today we consider this advice under the theme, be yourself. Be what God has made you for, and not the bundle of anxiety, grief, embarrassment, expectations, false piety, or rage that others and the world might put you into. Be yourself, the most basic way of being truthful, grateful, and blessed. Would you please read the call to worship with me? Get wisdom. Get insight. Do not forget, nor turn away from the words of her mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you.
Love her, and she will guard you.
Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a fair garland.
She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. Lord, your summons echoes true when you but call my name.
Let me turn and follow you and never be the same. In your company I'll go, where your love and footsteps show. Thus I'll move and live and grow in you and you in me.
Now friends, I invite you to stand and let's sing together hymn number 451, Be Thou My Vision.
The scriptures, Jesus said to his disciples over and over again, peace be with you. God's will through Christ is for us to experience peace. Let us offer the gift of peace to one another. Peace be with you.
And also with you.
And share the signs of peace with one another.
And now let's sing together a verse and a chorus of I Love to Tell the Story while the children come forward for the children's time.
I love to tell the story for those who know it best. Hungering and thirsting.
I should come up with that. I should come up. Well, good morning. How are you today? You doing okay? All right. It's so good to see you. Our the song that we just sang is To Tell the Old, Old Story. And that's a song we sang a lot when I was growing up, your age and even younger. So I guess it is an old, old story. And it's the story of Jesus. Now, do any of you like hearing stories? Do you remember being read to, or do you still get read to? Yeah. Stories, and there's films that tell stories, and TV shows. There's stories that are prepared, and then there's stories that people just tell. Like, you wouldn't believe what just happened to me at the supermarket. Have you heard stories like that? And sometimes they're really, really good, because they're like something we've never heard before. They're really, it's brand new. Nobody had told that story before. And sometimes they're good stories. So I guess that could be called good news. Well, we share in our stories that we tell the good news of Jesus Christ. That's a good story that we, it's news because Jesus, we're part of Jesus' story right now. We're part of the story of how God loves people, and how God's people serve Jesus. And there's each one of us has a great way of telling that story. So whether we're good at telling stories, and sometimes we give too many details, and sometimes we forget some details to say, oh yeah, and I forgot they were both 12 foot tall or something like that. That's really important to the story, but it's too late. We are the only ones that can tell the story of how Jesus' love is in our heart, and it's so special that you, and so important that you discover how Jesus has worked in other people's lives and hear their stories, and then also ask, how is Jesus working in my life to help there be good news, help there be transformation and resurrection and life? Would you pray with me now? Holy God, we're so glad that our story begins with creation, with you bringing this world into existence, with you calling us into life. We thank you for creating us and creating in us your special gifts and a special ways that we follow you and serve you and love one another. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much.
He's still my soul.
O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night. Even darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me into the way everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Our New Testament reading is from the book of Romans. It is Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 7, verses 15 through 24. And we take this up kind of in the middle of an argument. And if this sounds a little, if not confusing, a little frustrating, I think that's what it's meant to be. We'll sort through it a bit later. But here's the dilemmas that Paul is going through. He writes, "I do not understand my own actions, for I do what I want, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. But if in fact it is no longer I that do it, but it's the sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good that I want, but the evil that I do not want is what I do. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I really that do it, but really it's the sin that lives within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, still evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self. But I see in my members another law at war with the law in my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in all of my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? But thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord."
All right, friends. I think what Paul is writing to us is to try to give us an understanding of just what Jesus is doing for us in the Spirit. Now, if we want to understand entirely what's happening, may I help you?
Dave?
What?
I think you must be hungry. You're just not yourself. You might want to eat a little something. Get some sugar into the bloodstream.
Oh, thank you. All right. A lot better on my voice, too, I think. Probably should have chosen a non-caramel-based candy. You're not yourself when you're hungry. You've seen that before, right? When are you not yourself? Doesn't that seem kind of obvious that you would just be yourself? Why would anybody ever choose not to be themselves? Well, think about that for a moment. Maybe to fit in, or maybe they themselves don't think that they're good enough to kind of disguise who they are. Would someone not be themselves for that, or to fit other people's expectations, or simply to please other people? So there might be some reasons that people choose not to be themselves, but it's a tough, tough place to be. So be yourself. Not a false identity, and not anybody else. Because it's so painful not to be yourself. Is that satisfying, though? Is it satisfying to be utterly yourself? Or do you have a sense that if you're yourself, some people say, "Well, I'm just saying my opinion, how I think about it." But sometimes that's something welling up in people that is not really themselves either. That's that desire to please, or a desire that comes from an anger that's never really ever been addressed. That's it. We're not ourselves sometimes when we're hungry. We're not ourselves, really, when we're deeply sad. We can respond in ways that are utterly honest or in ways that are just like throwing a fit. Or if we feel embarrassed or want to prove something. So how do you become yourself? What's your Snickers bar for really becoming yourself and yourself at peace, even though it may be through times of trouble, even if there's a great challenge before you. Those are the best times to be yourself and not responding to the anxiety that's inside you or other people having an anxiety when you're not doing what they would like you to do. So we had that reading from the Apostle Paul. Why do I do the things that I know I shouldn't do? I know what I should do, and yet I don't always do it. He was talking in a bit of an exaggeration, and he's using himself as the example, but of course he's talking about a human condition. And this is part of a larger discussion that he's had, not just in this letter of Romans, we talked about it a bit last week from Galatians, in other letters too, where he's saying it's the Spirit of God, the Spirit of love that now pulls us forward, that Jesus has given us a new way to be reborn in life and each other. And the discussion had been about, people who are converted to Christianity, should they also be converted to Judaism? Should they follow all of the laws of the Scripture, which include, especially in the case of Galatians, circumcision includes the ceremonial laws, the dietary laws, all the moral laws. And Paul's saying, no, you don't have to do all of that because Jesus is the word, what we should follow. If we follow Jesus, or as we talked about last week, if we act in love, we're not going to violate in any of the essentials of the law if we stay in the way of love. So here, he's saying, look, I have no quarrel with the law. The law is important. The law helped me. It shows me what's wrong and what's right. It shows me the way to go. But the law doesn't have any power to transform me. The law can't change me. The law can't give me that will that I can act on. It's something that's static. But the power of Jesus, or what we know about God through Jesus, that spirit is what helps change me. So here he is in the midst of this discussion. He talks about it as a battle between his innermost self and his mind and his members. But people talk about it in other ways. I just want to sleep and can't get out of bed in the morning. There's my lazy self and then my type A self. There's any numbers of ways that we talk about trying to get ourselves moving and going. And usually we talk about that in a manner of productivity. Sometimes we talk about it in a matter of sin. Sometimes we talk about it in a matter of ways that we mess up our lives and keep sabotaging ourselves and we know better, but we don't do better. Doesn't that sound familiar? If not in your life, I know you have somebody near you who struggles mightily with this. Where's the Snickers bar? Where's the thing that helps us not just be ourselves, but to be people who are peaceful and comfortable in ourselves and loving with other people? I did toy around with the idea of titling the sermon, Be Yourself, Unless You're a Jerk. But I think if we fully know ourselves and how God has created us, then we're not jerks. People who are people of integrity, who know themselves, the very best gift we can be for each other is ourselves. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I picked up a book that one of my family members had loaned me a year ago, 5 years ago, whatever. I haven't picked it up. And it was called My Stroke of Insight. And it's by Jill, I always forget her middle name. It's Jill Taylor, Jill Bolte Taylor, Dr. Jill Bolte Taylor. She was a brain scientist. She was a daughter of an Episcopal minister and got her PhD in studying the brain. Has an MD and a PhD in psychology, but the actual physical qualities of the brain and why it does the things it does and how we respond. At the age of 37, she had a stroke, a debilitating stroke, on the left side of her brain. It was where there's that coil of capillaries, and something breaks, or they can't get through, and it expands and bleeds. And she had especially a lot of initial damage, but she was able to rebuild and her you know, these brains are amazing things. So she was able to develop back most of the skills and qualities that she had in her left brain, but not all of them. But, well, she had the skills, but she didn't say yes to all of the qualities. Let me explain. She remembers well what happened when she got her stroke, how she lost first the ability to process the information that was coming into her, and then her memory, and then she couldn't speak. She could physically speak, but words just couldn't come to her. And then more physical aspects happened. The next day, she had the abilities of her right side of the brain, which she really hadn't valued and appreciated very much, was pretty much all she had. And as a brain scientist, even in that state, she was aware of it. She was aware of now, but on the left side of the left brain, did you know all this? Some of you have read this before. The left brain is like the timekeeper. It has the past and the future. It's a storyteller. It processes information. It's where the language is. The right side of the brain is where we have a connection with other people, and we feel that, whereas we have the ego and individuality on the other side. Said she just felt at one with the things around her. She said she actually felt a kind of euphoria, and yet she couldn't make out faces. Everything looked very two-dimensional and just colors. She couldn't sort of process that into this is a face and this is that thing. You see, each side has properties of our own brains, have properties that are really, really helpful. And it's nice to have them both. But also, they each have properties that, if it's just that, without that conversation between them, it can be quite a problem. She had quite a problem when it was only the right side of her brain, but she did come to appreciate the kind of creativity, the sense of not being so bound by the past or so worried about things. She could just go on ahead and do things and feel joy and excitement. That wasn't what she did so much in the lab before in her life. So she could appreciate that and not be so concerned about those other qualities that may come with that too. She said, you know, if you're all right brain, you can be kind of lazy. You worry too little about time. You can live in the moment, but there's things that need to be done. Well, on the left side of the brain, there's great things that happen. As I said, it's the timekeeper. It tells stories. It processes lots of information. It can just do amazing things with abstract thought, but it also does what she calls brain chatter. And just going on and telling you things about yourself, about other people. It's the left side of the brain can be really competitive and argumentative and just wants to win, whereas the right side might be loving. The other side is like, but I need to be right. Well, as she began to heal, she realized, I don't have to relearn all of that. I actually have a choice. I'm actually not a puppet or a slave of whatever thought comes into my mind, whether it be, I don't know, you know, live wild and do whatever you want, or whether it be, you are so bad, why are you always procrastinating? That brain chatter that can say horrible, judgmental things about ourselves. I've decided I'm just not going to take that part of it. Let's do the good things and understand that other thoughts and things will happen in our lives, and just, what did one writer say? You greet them and say, thank you very much, but I don't need you right now. And just dismiss it. That you have more control even over yourself than you realize. You don't have to fight against it just to say, I know that's part of me, but I don't need to call upon that. See, I've found that I'm allergic. Like, there's a physical response in me that tells me that I'm allergic to stress. Obviously, you know, anxiety and fear. It does something to my body chemistry, and I guess she's one to say that. So I found that within 90 seconds, if I breathe and do certain things, I can get that back out of me, and I can be myself. It's her Snickers bar. It's nature. Walking in nature, playing music, listening to music. Or, you know, you can see that's her need to go to the right side of her brain, she calls it. It's not music, it's just compassion. Getting yourself outside of yourself, realizing your connection to others, showing compassion and generosity. All of these are things that help me rebalance to be myself. Well, of course, we don't always think about it in terms of left brain, right brain. But we know that there's qualities in us that, on the obverse side, have things we like or things that we dislike. And also we know, as we mature, we're not the prisoner of our emotions, and we shouldn't be the prisoner of what we think other people think about us as well. These are decisions that we make, and yet it doesn't work very much if we just say, stop doing that, like Paul was saying. How do we make friends with ourselves, recognize all that we are, and then head in a way that really is a place of wholeness and satisfaction? As like Anthony DeMello, who's a writer I've quoted several times before. He was a Jesuit priest, a pastoral counselor from India. And he said, people ask about discipline, kind of like Paul saying, well, you talk about the law. But he says, think of discipline as like a river that flows to the sea with a force and a passion. It knows where its destiny is. And it creates its own banks in that way. That's how we are when we find what we love and what we serve. And it makes a big difference if we can love ourselves too. And when we have those rotten thoughts or something that feels like an urge that really is not going to be helpful, we can acknowledge it and dismiss it. So we're going to practice. I'd invite you to, in a sense, meditate along with me. And so if you feel comfortable doing so, go ahead and close your eyes and set your feet down on the floor. Take a deep breath. And hopefully someone can go to the other room and get my book. So I'm going to repeat what I remember. I left it up in the other room. So now take a deep breath and let it out. Be aware of the people around you, of the world around you. Call upon the Spirit of God to be with you. Think of those times where you have felt truly yourself, truly in delight. And you've delighted in the world. And you've delighted in other people, in the company of others. When you've delighted in work, in a task that really gave you energy. You felt empowered by something that you've done. Compare that with a feeling you've had that's been perhaps momentary thrills of receiving applause, conquering something, winning something. And notice the difference in that kind of thrill and the delight. It's a difference between owning or conquering, or consuming, and delighting in someone or something. And now think of yourself, perhaps something about yourself that you would like to change. Something that you haven't cared for in yourself. It's a quality of thoughts that have come to you. And now, imagine yourself making friends with that quality. Asking that quality, what's been wrong? Where has the hurt been? Where has there been embarrassment, harm, or anger? Understand that quality. And say to it, I know that there may have been a good reason for you to come to me earlier in life. There may be an understandable reason, but that I don't need you to hurt me anymore. We don't need to be angry at our anger. We don't need to be depressed by our depression. We don't need to feel such sorrow at our sorrow, but simply to notice them that they are, not to blame ourselves. Now think of other qualities about you or in your life. It may be a physical quality that you're angry about or frustrated with. Old age, young age, something in your home or at work or someone who you're struggling with, the world as it is, and say to it, I can accept that you are, but you don't have to change me or make me angry or excited or frustrated. You don't have to pull my strings or make me a slave. But I won't fight you, because I found that violence never leads to a good end. I can love you and accept that you've been in my life even for a reason. And now, before you do anything else, before you resolve to change or do anything else, if you think of things that you would like to change, just know this, that Jesus loves you whether or not you change anything at all. That God has created you and loved you and gifted you and called you. And that whatever you change or don't change, God's love for you will not change. Now call upon the power and the freedom of the Holy Spirit to be with your heart and your minds and all your members, your life. To feel thanksgiving for what you are. Feel thanksgiving for the other people around you. And quietly say to yourself, you are loved. And thank you, God. Amen. So a guy goes into the doctor. Says, doctor, I'm not feeling well at all. The doctor hears him out, and then she says, I'm going to write a prescription here. I know exactly what your problem is. And I'm writing this prescription for your neighbor to change. Well, that doesn't happen with our physical life, does it? No. What we deal with is what we can change in ourselves. Starting, first of all, with a sense of ourselves and who we are. A sense of where we want to be and our destination. It's ourselves. And as many of us have found out throughout the years, we could change the other person. We could change our house. We could get the job that we're longing for. We could get some new thing in our life, and we still may have the very same problems. Is that right? And that's when we start feeling like Paul. But go forward now in this service and from this place to be yourself. Not a puppet of expectations, not a slave to judgment, yours or others, not an actor seeking applause, but yourself. And then you will find exactly that which satisfies the most in the love of God through Jesus Christ. Amen. And now, friends, I would like to invite you into a time of communion, a time of making our connections together and with God. Our knowledge, it symbolizes our knowledge and our experience that God is with us, that Jesus has come to us, even as we are, in the flesh, even as it is, and has brought transformation, grace, love to us, to this place, and now. And so now we'll participate in the great Thanksgiving. And during this time, you don't need in any of the songbooks, you don't need the bulletin. You can set them to the side. We'll tell you if there's something to repeat or something to sing or something to do. If you were here a month ago, we did the same great Thanksgiving. Come and be a part of this communion of spirit and of life. We'll sing together. Come to the table of grace. Dave and Laura will lead. Oh, we sing it several times, and occasionally one word changes. Otherwise, it's the same.
Come to the table of grace. Come to the table of grace. This is God's table. It's not yours or mine. Come to the table of grace. Come to the table of grace. Come to the table of grace. This is God's table. It's not yours or mine. Come to the table of grace.
Friends, God is ever present with you.
And now the people say, and also with you.
And also with you. Turn to the people around you and tell them this news. The peace of Christ is always with you.
The peace of Christ is always with you. Peace.
Come to the table of peace. Come to the table of peace. This is God's table. It's not yours or mine. Come to the table of peace.
Listen. The body breathes in together and out. As close as breath, the Holy Spirit is present with us. So we lift up our hearts, and the family says, we lift them up to God.
We lift them up to God. Let us give thanks to the Holy Living One, because it is the right thing to do, not only now, but always. For always is when God is with us.
I invite you to open both palms upward. This is the sign language for give.
We thank you, Creator God, that you formed us in your image.
And now place your hands together in the sign meaning to be with.
We thank you, Sustainer God, that you are here with us.
Now bring your hands close to your face in the sign for prayer. Close your eyes, becoming aware even of your breath upon your hands.
We thank you, God, for breathing into us the breath of life. Even when we have turned away, you have remained with us, close as breath. When we have been frightened, hesitant, still you are patient. You have time and again reached out your hand to free us, for your promise is steadfast.
So now we open our eyes, we open our hands, and our hearts, to your will, O God, for us, as you told us through your prophets. We join our voices together, praising you, along with all who do, who have ever done so, and will ever do so, repeating, Holy, holy, holy God.
Holy, holy, holy God.
Everywhere we see your glory.
Everywhere we see your glory.
Hosanna in the highest.
Hosanna in the highest.
And the widest.
And the widest.
And the deepest.
And the deepest.
Core of our being.
Core of our being. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of our God. Blessed is your Son who came to preach the good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people.
Listen, people, the Lord is with you. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and sat down at the table and ate, especially with those considered unworthy. Let us remind ourselves by saying, the Lord is present in every one of us.
The Lord is present with every one of us.
The table of love.
Come to the table of love. Come to the of love. This is God's table, it's not yours or mine. Come to the table of love.
On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
Come to the table of love. Come to the table of love. This is God's table. It's not yours or mine. Come to the table of love.
Let us be a community of messengers, telling the story of Jesus, proclaiming and reminding each other and all of creation that Jesus has died.
Jesus has died.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
Christ will come again.
Christ will come again.
I invite you to raise your hands in the ancient Christian posture of prayer, and we will do this blessing.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Let them be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we may be, for the world, the body of Christ, liberated by his witness, passion, and life. Be with us, Holy Spirit. Fill us so that you can move through us.
I invite you to make a point of connection with those around you by laying a hand on a shoulder, holding hands, whatever's most comfortable to you. Nothing at all, if that's what you choose. By your Spirit, we are one with Christ, the host of this table, and one with each other. Let this joy be seen in us, outside of this place. It is with great thanks that all of God's people say together, Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Sing, "Come to the Table of Joy."
Come to the table of joy. Come to the table of joy. This is God's table. It's not yours or mine.
Come to the table of joy. Come to the table of joy. Come to the table of joy. This is God's table. It's not yours or mine. Table of joy.
In the United Methodist Church, we have an open table. All who earnestly desire this connection, reconciliation with sisters and brothers, and with God, are invited to come forward and take part in this gospel feast. As you come forward, guided by the ushers, you're invited to take a piece of the bread or a gluten-free wafer and dip that into the cup. If you like, you may pause for a moment at the communion rail and then return to your seat for a continued time of prayer and meditation. Come, for the table is set and the gospel feast is complete. Come, be filled and be satisfied.
The sign of a new covenant poured out for you.
The body of Christ for you.
The body of Christ broken for you.
The body of Christ for you. The body of Christ for you. take the bread, remembering Jesus loves us. The bread of life for you. 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 The body of Christ for you. Body of Christ for you. Bread of life for you. Bread of life for you. Bread of life. Bread of life for you. The bread of life for you. The body of Christ for you. The body of Christ for you. The bread of life for you. Bread of life for you. The bread of life, the body of Christ for you. The body of Christ for you. The body of Christ for you. Let us enter into a time of continued prayer. Gracious and loving God, thank you for this gift, the sacrament of Holy Communion, in which you give yourself to us and And as you have given yourself to us, may we give ourselves in your name to a hurting world. We thank you, O God, for the blessings that you have given this nation, an abundance of wealth in all kinds of ways, the ability to serve, Lord, and to seek your justice. We thank you for allowing us to worship together here today in peace and security. And we pray for people around the world who do not yet have that opportunity. Move in us and others that we may one day all worship as you lead us. We pray this in the name of Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Let's sing together, "Come and Fill Our Hearts." We'll sing it through twice.
Come and fill our hearts with your peace. You alone, O Lord, are holy. Come and fill our hearts with your peace. Alleluia. Come and fill our hearts with your peace. You alone, O Lord, are holy. Come and fill our hearts with your peace. Alleluia.
Freely we have received. Freely let us give and be co-workers with Christ in God's ministry in the world.
My eyes have seen the glory.
Give these gifts, even as we give ourselves to you, O God. Take us, use us as you will. Build us up in your glory so that we may be the people that you have made us to be. Amen.
Now we'll sing the first two verses of hymn number 373, Nothing Between. And so there is no place to go but where God is not. You can go to the highest heights, even when you're at your deepest depths. God is there. When you are feeling the best you've ever felt and when you're as low as you've ever been, when you feel like you want to be seen and when you just want the darkness of night, God is there. Go. Feel the love of God and take this love to others and see them with God's love as well. Go and be filled and be satisfied. Amen.